Zena. I'll always love you.
Will you count me in? I've been awake for a while now. You got me feeling like a child now. 'Cause every time I see your bubbly face, I get the tingles in a silly place. It starts in my toes and I crinkle my nose.
So welcome everyone to Zena and Uber's podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode 113. This podcast show is for all the Zena and Uber septic stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. Hello everyone, welcome back to XNU, and for those of you new to the show, welcome and hello. We've got a great show for you this week. We're just going to get right into it. The song snippet you hear on this week's show is from The Naughty Monkey to the Nurse, and it's from Colby Kalia, and it's called Bubbly. So check it on out and buy the CD. And let's get on to the rest of the show notes. Okay, in this week's book recommendation that I've dug up over at Boldstrobe Books, one of the newest and latest releases that's come out is called Do Not Disturb by Carson Tate. And of course, I'll have a link on my show notes. And the description goes along like this. Love doesn't wait to be invited in. Ainsley Faraday specializes in the management of sleek urban hotels and is reluctant to accept her employer's latest challenge to take over a mom-and-pop property in Santa Fe, even though she has no desire to be surrounded with lonely mountain ranges and coyote skulls. She can't resist a challenge that might put her within reach of a corner office at headquarters. Rockstar Greer Davis's protection bubble of stardom bursts after a night of wanton partying, results in a public disaster of epic proportions. Unprepared for the scathing turn of events, Greer heads for the hills, literally. She assumes a new identity and returns to her roots in northern New Mexico, just as her latest album debuts at number one on the charts. When Ainsley and Greer meet on a flight to New Mexico, love is the last thing on either of their minds, but tall mountain vistas, big blue skies, and hot, hot green chili all combine to create a rush of endorphins begging for release. So, once again, I'll have a link on my show notes for that, and check it on out. If anybody does get to read it, please send me an email and let me know what the review's like.
Initializing process. Oh, crap.
Well, we've got some updates on some of the websites, or information on some of the websites. Over at the ReneeO'Connor.net site, we've got some information that Renee's been actually nominated for the 2010 Women Making a Difference Awards, and that she's confirming that she will also be attending the Paris Convention. In her latest news on her website, says that, yes, she will be attending the fan convention in Paris in August, and looking forward to meeting the great many of you who never come to Los Angeles to see us at Creation Zena's convention. If you need more information where, when, and what she'll be doing, check out their other site and click on the link below, which was the Ultimate Art Convention, the Music Con, that she's also once put on there. I want to share with this all of you with thanks for letting all of us at Rock Pictures, Andrew, Lauren, and myself, to have the opportunity to create original programming in the internet and elevates and inspires a difference in the community. And that comes out with the nomination that she's gotten for the 2010 Women Making a Difference Awards. And then over at the AusPix, AUSXIP, which is Mary D's site, she's got an interview with Lucy Lawless on there that you can read on. And that, like I said, you could check it out at AUSXIP, where she interviews Lucy Lawless. And as well as that Lucy will be doing a prequel to the Spartacus, which is, I think, 6 or 7 episodes that she'll be doing as a prequel to the Spartacus movie TV series, and will include several people in it as well. So check it on out, and hope you enjoy. know that that's a sad tune to hear, but at this point we want to pause and give a moment for those that have passed on. Recently, we were given notification that Dennis Hopper and Gary Coleman have passed away. So at this point, I would like to say to the families and relatives, you know, my condolences, and may they rest in peace.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
So you know what that sound is? That sound says, all right, people, come on, cough it up. That's the sound to say, I'm asking everyone to please donate for the run. I have raised almost 47% of my goal. And as you all know by now, and you're tired of hearing it, I am running the New York City Marathon to raise money for cancer research. So I'm asking everyone, new, old, and those in between, to go ahead and please donate. Anything and everything would be greatly appreciated. $5, $10, $20, $100, whatever you can give would be greatly appreciated. I ask that you also please put it in your office. Put a can out asking for donations for a charity raising, of asking for money for cancer research. Put a can on your desk. Put a charity tin. Ask your boss if you can do that. And then donate it to the show. I mean, get them all together. Everybody puts in a dollar in your office. Hey, everybody, put in a dollar toward this. And then put your office out there on the show. And also on my body, like I said, I'm willing to write your name anywhere. I've got my left cheek gone, I've got my right ear gone, and I think somebody said that they also wanted my right cheek as well. So, you know, body parts are going here, people. Come on, join in on the club and raise money for cancer research.
You snapped, haven't you?
Okay, that time of the show where we give the quote of the week. We have two quotes this week, and the first one sent in by Lenny, saying, thank you, Lenny, for this, is, life is a coin. You can spend it any way you wish, but you can only spend it once. Thank you, Lenny, for that one. And then the second one, coming from my quote winch Bobby, has, the needle that pierces may carry a thread that binds. And that one's from James Hastings. So thank you to both of them for providing the quotes for the show for this week.
Come and get
some. When Do You Know? By your host, Cass. Chapter 41.
How many?
From the Drucky, word is 3 legions. From the Chow, 1.
Okay, you go to Le Chow with the 2nd and 4th, and what Queen Melosa lends to you. I'll take Le Drucky.
But...
The Conqueror's head snapped up with glare at his protest. Abraxas gulped audibly at the look emanating from her, but forged ahead. If he were going to die today, he'd rather have it be at her hands than some swine.
It's exactly what they want.
Speak.
She gestured with a hand for him to continue.
They're making us divide to face them. United we stand. Divided, they have the advantage.
She raised an eyebrow to him, and he took it as consent to continue.
We're playing right into their hands.
The Conqueror smirked and her eyes twinkled.
Good, Abraxas. Very good. She praised him. That's what I wanted to hear from my second. So you're not just an ugly face, eh?
She winked.
No?
He replied, a bit confused.
It's exactly what they think I'll do, and for all intents and purposes, it will seem that way.
She strode to a table that had been set up for her as a command point.
But what we're actually going to do is lure them in. I have sent messages out to the outlying troops. They are to stand fast. We are going to send a quarter of the troops to each city with the battalion commanders in place. You and I and the Amazons are going to join the outlying troops in secrecy outside of Corinth. We will leave the palace troops in charge here. When they make way into the outside reaches, we will surround and pin them against the palace troops.
Oh!
I have amassed almost 4 legions to the south of Corinth. They are in a candle mark of each other, with what seems to be warlords at the head of each group of mercenaries. You will take the south and I the north. As we speak, they are spreading out to entrap them. Never underestimate your enemy. She clasped him on the shoulder. Man up. We ride.
As all the palace was in chaos, Gabrielle took the time to find out what was going on through Titimus.
as he always traveled with the Conqueror as the healer. She managed to convince him to let her accompany him as one of his assistants. Making sure that the Conqueror didn't see her as they loaded the medical cart that would be their supply for the battle ahead, Gabrielle hid her staff inside. Within a candle mark, the Conqueror rode out with Abraxas and the Amazons behind. In the troops and the caravan that followed, Gabrielle sat hidden in the medical cart. It was near dusk when the troops made camp. They had marched for almost 3 candle marks, but did not go a far distance from the palace, as the Conqueror made them scatter in small groups and travel lesser-known roads in a southeasterly direction. This ensured that they could meet the reinforcements at the rendezvous point and make ready.
"Make sure it is a dark camp, Abraxas. I want reports every candle mark, and have scouts rotate so they are not recognized by someone."
She strode to her tent.
"We will break camp in the dark, with you taking to the south with Queen Melissa's half of the Amazons."
"Aye, Lord Conqueror. I will get them ready to move at your word."
He saluted and turned to meet his battle warlord commanders. The Conqueror entered her tent and sat at the map table assembled for her. She had just unfurled the map when a knock on the exterior post sounded.
"My lord?"
a timid voice asked. The words made her freeze, and her blood ran cold. With a startled look to the tent flap, she jumped up and flung the flap open.
"Gabrielle!"
she cried out in a sharp, angry voice.
"What are you doing here?"
Gabrielle flinched at the tone, cowering unconsciously at the glare of shock the Conqueror was giving her as she loomed over her in the entryway. The Conqueror reached out with her left hand, grabbing Gabrielle by the right wrist and pulling her in as if saving her from some unforeseen danger.
"What are you doing here? You should be back at the palace. This is no place for you to be."
She began pacing inside the tent while waving her arms up and down in a frustrated manner.
"Don't you realize how dangerous this is? This is war, Gabrielle. People are going to get hurt and die."
Gabrielle stood in the middle of her tent, head bowed and eyes closed with her hands clasped in front of her. She had never been dressed down by the Lord Conqueror, and felt she was well and truly in the deep end now.
"How did you get here? Never mind."
The Conqueror stopped Gabrielle from answering with a hand up in a halting motion.
"I've got to get you out of here, but you can't go back to the palace."
She began pacing again.
"Okay, I've got it. You will stay here with Titimus until when all this is over and it's safe for you to return."
Gabrielle's head popped up.
"No!"
The Conqueror's head, in turn, snapped to her face.
"What?"
"My lord, Xena, no, please. I came to fight by your side."
"No, Gabrielle. This is too dangerous even to consider."
She shook her head to emphasize her point.
"But I can fight and you know that. You've even said it yourself."
"No, Gabrielle. This is different. This is war."
"Please, Xena."
"No, Gabrielle. It is for your own safety."
"My lord, I'm a free woman now."
She stood straight.
"And as such, able to make my own decisions."
The Conqueror stopped and looked at Gabrielle with incredulous wide eyes.
"You dare presume to tell me what you can do?"
Suddenly, Gabrielle realized she had overstepped her position.
My lord...
She gulped at what she saw now. The Conqueror was seething at having been spoken back to, yet held her tongue. Anyone who dared attempt such a thing usually never finished their sentences, as their head rolled by their feet, having been severed by the Conqueror's sword mere seconds before. But this was Gabrielle, the woman she loved and would protect with her life. The conflict of emotions was showing on her face as it turned red with rage and restraint.
"Forgive me, my lord, Xena. I misspoke and dare not presume your rights over me."
She lowered her head, and then, doing something she had not done in months, she knelt down to the ground. This broke Xena.
"Get up, Gabrielle."
Her voice hoarse and restrained. Gabrielle stood.
"Yes, you are a free woman, Gabrielle, and as such, are able to make your own decisions. But..."
Taking a deep breath.
"As the Lord Conqueror, I decide who can fight in my armies, and who can do what, where, and when."
Gabrielle did not raise her head, but nodded.
"I do this for your own safety."
She walked over to Gabrielle and cupped her hand gently under her chin, raising it so that their eyes met.
"You mean everything to me, Gabrielle. Everything."
She took a shaky deep breath again. I will not put you in harm's way, nor let any harm come to you by my neglect. So I must order you to stay with Titimus.
As you wish, my lord.
The words cut through Xena's heart. Had she, in the guise of protecting her, done irreparable harm to their tenuous relationship? She closed her eyes as her hand fell from her chin. Her shoulders slumped seemingly with the weight of the world upon them now. A knock on the tent post. While turning away from Gabrielle, so she could not see the hurt on her face, she answered in a sad and defeated voice. Enter. Quimilosa opened the tent flap and stepped in, looking up to see Gabrielle standing in the center of the tent, facing the entrance with her head down, tears dripping from her eyes, and her arms wrapped around her waist. The conqueror behind and to the right of her, facing away from her, her back to the entrance with shoulders slumped and resigned. The queen could feel the tension in the small space.
Lord Conqueror, I didn't know...
She stopped.
Will you leave, my lord?
Gabrielle sobbed. The conqueror could not reply, but nodded her response yes. Gabrielle did not acknowledge the queen as she hastily exited the tent, as the sobs turned into wails willingly. Chapter 42.
Lord Conqueror, I...
What is it, Queen Melissa?
She said with effort. Lord Conqueror, if I may be so bold, are you all right?
Fine.
But it...
I said fine. I meant fine. Now what is it you need to speak to me about?
Her voice was laden with hurt and repent anger. Yes, then. I have sent my regent with your suitor with Abraxas. One half of my troops to them as well. I will escort you with the other half at your mark. She replied in an official tone. The conqueror nodded and Queen Melosa turned to exit.
Melosa.
The queen stopped at the tent flap she had raised to exit. Turning slightly, she waited. Yes, Lord Conqueror.
Thank you for your concern.
Any time, my friend.
I left the conqueror alone. It was nearly pitch black as the camp broke in the freezing cold night air. The conqueror had given Abraxas his order and had taken his command with the Amazon regent, the royal suitor, and the rest of the Amazons in tow, heading in a northwestern direction to produce a semicircle of entrapment against the enemy.
The conqueror rode with Queen Melosa, the weapons master, and the rest of her troops in a northeasterly direction to do the same. So, Titimus and the rest will wait for the arrival of the injured?
Queen Melissa brought up in conversation as she tried to gauge what she had borne witness to in the tent. Yes and no.
At this response, Queen Melissa looked over in curiosity at the Lord Conqueror, riding on Sirion.
The Conqueror smirked and thought, Even royal kittens die of curiosity. He will advance within half Candlemark's distance to the fighting. There he will set up his medical tent for the wounded to arrive. This will keep them out of the way, but within distance to help.
So,
the queen looked at the conqueror, then ahead to the road.
Is Gabrielle assisting the healer?
Yes.
It was a very noble gesture to help in this moment, was it not?
With any luck, they won't see much coming as regarded to the wounded.
She replied without answering the baiting question. She knew the queen was trying.
You seem very protective of her. This was more of a statement than question to the conqueror. I am protective of all the people not belonging in the chaos of war,
she continued,
whether they realize it or not.
Was the only response she heard from the queen. They rode in silence to the outskirts of the enemy encampment, under the cloak of darkness. The conqueror motioned with hand signals to the battalion leaders to position themselves before engagement with them and to wait for her signal. The conqueror took in a deep, drawing breath, releasing the evil beast from his cage that she called her deep, dark soul. This was her curse to carry, her cross to bear for wanting ultimate power and control. It had not always been this way. It was only at her most vulnerable point that the so-called gift was presented to her, and she accepted it willingly. Now it was her power to wield, and she used it when and only required, and only by her choice and command, no longer in the control or influence of Ares or his desires.
Ha! She thought to herself, he never really had control. I got what I wanted, and so did he. It was of mutual benefit at the time. But now it's all about what I need, not him. She sneered. No. Now it's about her. Her thoughts turned wistful. Oh, Gabrielle. I only did it to protect you. You don't realize how much you mean to me. I could never let anything harm you, little one. Forgive me. The Conqueror shook her head clear before the battle commenced. Raising her sword up into the air, she looked to her right and then left, took a deep breath, and let out her war cry, thus beginning the battle. At once the forest came alive and descended on the enemy's encampment, catching him off guard, still asleep in the dark. It seemed like an eternity to Gabrielle. She had helped Titimus and Nika set up the medical tent and cots along the outside for the wounded as they were to arrive when the battle began. But she was only going through the motions. Her mind was elsewhere, troubled at what happened between her and the Conqueror.
She said I could fight. She said I was good. Very good. So why not let me fight? She let everyone else. Queen Melosa, Ephany, their weapons master. But not me.
Placing some rags near a bucket of water to wipe blood off some helpless soldier, who'd need them soon, she continued to the next cot.
My own safety, huh? I can't fight but only within the palace under her eyes, and against no one else. How is that fighting?
She threw the rags down, frustrated. Don't you realize you mean everything to me, Gabrielle? She heard the words and looked around for Xena. She swore she was standing next to her. Forgive me. Again the words, and then she felt the warmth caress her. Then it was gone. Before she could understand what had just occurred, a shout from Nika brought her attention to the group of men approaching.
The first injured are coming in,
Nika said. It was some time when Gabrielle could take a breath.
Wow, there are so many,
she said to Nika.
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy battle. There are so many this time.
Nika finished wrapping a bandage on a soldier's thigh. Dawn had come, bringing with it the brutal reality of war. Men laid about in various stages of injuries. Some had deep cuts to their arms or legs that required stitching for them to continue, and bandages so they could return to the battlefield. Others were wounded that required Titimus's care and decision if the limb could be saved, or they were to lose it, or even survive it. One soldier sat holding his thigh that was bleeding profusely from a spear that had been embedded in an assault and pulled out.
Hey! Someone stitch me up! I've got to get back!
He ranted, trying to get one of the helper's attention.
We'll get to you in a moment. We're tending to the others who are injured.
Nika snapped as she held pressure to a man's neck, where an arrow had just been removed by Titimus. Gabrielle was briskly walking by on her way to a medical cart for more supplies when he grabbed her by the wrist.
Please, stitch me up. I've got to get to the Conqueror,
he pleaded.
They'll get to you in a candle drop. Honest, just give them time,
she replied, trying to loosen his grip on her wrist.
You don't understand. I've got to tell the Conqueror. It's a trap.
His grip weakened, and he started to teeter backwards.
It's a trap. They know about her. Her maneuvers to get them in a circle, pinned from behind.
He faltered. The loss of blood was starting to affect him. Gabrielle's face drained of color at the word she heard.
What do you mean?
She knelt by him and attempted to get his attention.
Tell me!
They know. Somehow.
He closed his eyes.
They're going to do the same to her.
And he passed out. Gabrielle took only a blink before deciding what she needed to do.
Nika! I've got to go!
And she was off running before Nika could even reply.
Yeah!
The queen pushed her mount forward, through the battlefield, littered now with bodies. She brought her sword down onto the shoulder of an enemy soldier, who had just swiped at her leg and felt it slice through him and hit bone. Turning, she saw the Conqueror off of Syria, and battling a group of four soldiers, each attacking her at the same time at different angles. She decapitated one with a swing of a sword, and kicked one legs out from under him in the follow-through turn.
Ha ha ha! Come and get some!
She laughed, the beast in her enjoying the battle. They battled for candle marks, easily defeating the battalion and moving the enemy further back towards the castle, and Abraxas' encroaching group. The queen was now off her horse as well, as the bodies made it difficult from keeping her mount in control. Gabrielle taken one of the horses and jumped on it, kicking it forward to the ongoing battle, without thought of what she was headed toward. It took only a few candle drops to reach the end fringes of the battle, but she continued further in search of her conqueror. The battle was in full gore, men hacking at each other and striking sword to armor or shield. Gabrielle pulled up suddenly, as an enemy soldier stood right in front of her.
"Oh, a little girl wants to play, eh?"
he sneered. He never saw her whip her staff from around her right side and knock him to the ground with a crack to his head. But she didn't see the soldier sneak up to her left and pull her off the horse by her form. With a thud, she hit the ground, hard, and immediately brought her staff up in a defensive gesture, barely blocking the sword aimed for her head. Another swing and block, and she rolled away just enough to get her knees and swing at her attacker. He blocked the low swing to his leg and pulled back for an overhead strike. Now Gabrielle was able to get her feet, and in the moment he had his arms above his head, she took the end of her staff and hit him in the throat, causing him to gasp, drop his sword, and grab at his throat. Gabrielle reeled back and hit him across the temple, rendering him unconscious. Taking in a deep, steadying breath, she looked about, realizing she was in the middle of a battle and a target. She had to find the conqueror and tell her what had awaited her. But first, she had to stop the man coming at her with a spear. Queen Melos had lost sight of the conqueror in the melee. She and her Amazons were battling 2 and 3 soldiers each, while trying to press their advantage. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw something that made her take a second look. She could have sworn she saw Gabrielle being pulled off a horse, but a sword strike near her face caused her to turn away. After several exchanges of sword clashes and a few scrapes and cuts, the queen was able to look around and gaze the direction of the battle. It was then she realized she had indeed seen Gabrielle, and she was now doing battle with the soldier intending to spear her. Gabrielle was holding her own against the soldier, except when another one attacked at her side. He lunged at her with his sword, causing her to block his attack with her stomach right side. When she blocked his sword from stabbing her, the soldier with the spear lunged forward. Queen Melosa yelled out, "Gabrielle, look out!" Chapter 43. Just in the nick of time, Gabrielle turned, receiving a glancing blow to her hip, thigh, and shearing off some of her skirt as he followed through with the momentum past her. The queen was nearing at a run as the soldier with the sword turned to attack her again, now that she had been injured by his blow. Queen Melos impaled the spearman with her sword and looked up to see Gabrielle on one knee, blocking the sword swipes. The queen continued forward and, with a few parries, dismissed the soldier with a cut across the throat. "Gabrielle, are you all right? What are you doing here?" the queen asked as she held her up.
Yes, it doesn't seem bad," Gabrielle replied,
gritting her teeth as she took the hem of her skirt and wiped away the blood from the wound to see how badly she was injured.
"I've got to get to the conqueror. It's a trap, Queen Melissa. They know of her plan. They're going to do the same to our troops and her."
The queen looked at Gabrielle, then down to her hip, and her mouth dropped open.
What?
Gabrielle was perplexed as to what the queen was trying to say or point to.
You've got...
But she was caught off as a soldier of the enemy attacked her. After a few candle drops, the queen was able to dispatch him to Hades and return to Gabrielle, who still clutched at her hip.
"Gabrielle, that mark, do you know what it means?"
the queen finally asked.
"No. It's just a birthmark."
"Gabrielle, that mark is as ancient as the Amazons," the queen told her while pulling her over to a tree for her to lean against and have some shelter against the ongoing battle.
"What do you mean, Queen Melissa? This is just a birthmark, that's all,"
Gabrielle said as she continued to stem the blood loss and wipe it clean.
"No, Gabrielle, that is the mark of Artemis herself. It is written in the ancient scrolls that there will come a queen to rule the nation with the mark of the goddess upon her from birth." "I am the queen, Queen Melissa. I'm a freed slave who was born to parents of humble means. Nothing more."
"I cannot tell you how it has come to be, Gabrielle, only that this has been foretold."
Just then, a band of enemy soldiers came across the two of them and attacked. Gabriel ducked as a sword struck where her head had been only a second before, rolling away to jump up in a defensive stance with her staff against two men. Queen Melos had three men attacking her from all sides. One engaged her sword from an overhead strike, while another took a swing at her right leg, which she only just lifted in time to have his sword swipe and hit nothing but air. When she lifted her leg, the queen managed to hit the third in the stomach and turned to punch the first in the face with the pommel of her sword, causing his head to snap back and knock him unconscious. Gabrielle blocked the attack of the two with her staff, keeping them at bay and herself safe. Finally, she landed a hit to one that knocked him down and out, leaving only the other to contend with.
"I'll get you, you little bitch,"
he snarled, while launching into a series of strikes, knocking Gabrielle back and down to her knees with their force. Barely holding onto her staff from the force, Gabrielle knew she had to do something, or she was going to be killed. She took a shot at him by his left knee, making him stumble back, and then tried to come at her again, but it was the breath she needed to get back on her feet and better defend herself. Queen Melosa was fighting two enemy soldiers who were equally as skilled as the queen, causing her to push her skills with the sword. Just then another enemy soldier came upon them and entered the fray, easily causing the shift of the tide in whose favor the fight would go. Gabrielle took a minor cut to her right bicep as a soldier took a wild swing at her while trying to regain his balance with his bad knee. When he was pushing himself back up to stand from his near fall, he never saw his staff come down on the back of his head. Gabrielle turned to see Queen Melosa fighting the three men and ran towards her in aid. As she was about to reach her, she saw another man come running up and stop. He reached up and pulled a small crossbow from across his back, with his left hand pointing it at the queen.
"Look out, Queen Melosa!"
Gabrielle screamed as she saw it unfold before her eyes. The queen could not turn to see what it was she needed to do, but instinctively ducked and rolled to avoid whatever it was. The crossbow whizzed by her right shoulder as she went down and embedded itself in the chest of an enemy soldier. But she could not avoid the sword strike from one of the others. It caught her across the back, going from her shoulder blade down across to her left hip.
"Ah!"
she screamed out, dropping to the ground on one knee. Gabrielle jumped up and kicked out with both feet to one of the soldiers, knocking him to the ground. As she was able to get her feet quicker, she was able to hit him across the jaw with one end of her staff, and with the momentum of her turn, catch him across the temple. He went down, never seeing the ground come to his face. The soldier who struck the queen was now trying to finish her off, as she struggled to block his strikes while trying to get back up on her feet. Gabrielle was battling the crossbowman. He was a very big brute of a man, but she had quickness for her size to disadvantage him. Blocking several of his strikes with a sword, he began to get angrier and take wild swings. On the third swing, Gabrielle was able to hit his shoulder and then reverse and take out his kneecap. He dropped like a sack to the ground, howling in pain while grabbing his knee. Gabrielle took that moment to crack him across the back of the head.
"Oh, shut up!"
she said through gritted teeth. Going back to Queen Melosa, she saw her failing to hold against her attacker.
"No!"
she screamed and ran to her, only to see the queen have her sword knocked from her hands as she stumbled to the ground. Epinette had been watching from a distance as she battled several men as well. When the queen was struck across her back, she started to run to her, only to be blocked by two other men attacking her.
"Get out of my way!"
she growled as she swung her sword and slashed one man across the throat. The other engaged in her sword fight, holding her back from moving forward.
"Hades!"
she grunted, trying several different hits to him.
"Ha! Can't get through my defenses, little girl. This is a man's war. You should be home taking care of children and listening to your lord husband. Not here."
He sneered as he hit her with his sword, cutting her right thigh.
"Ah!"
she grunted out, putting a hand immediately to her thigh.
"You'll pay for that, you pissant!"
she growled.
"Ha ha 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 ha!"
he laughed as he let his defenses down, thinking he'd beaten her already. She took the opportunity and simply lunged forward with her sword, sinking it into his chest, below his heart.
"Told you!"
she spat in his face as he sunk to his knees with a look of shock on his face.
"Besides, My future wife wouldn't like me with someone else.
And she yanked out her sword, the momentum pulling his body forward to thud to the ground. Eppina looked up to see the queen's sword being knocked from her hand, and the enemy taking his arm back for the final blow. She could hear Gabriel scream as she ran towards her queen. Gabriel ran in front of the man's sword to try and deflect him, but it was too late. He had already plunged the sword into the queen's stomach, and Gabriel's body knocked them all to the ground. Rolling off and onto her feet, Gabriel saw the man start to get up. With an anger she'd only felt one time before, she swung her staff and smashed him in the head as hard as she could. Never bothering to see what she had done to him, she turned to the queen and knelt down. Eponin was now running up and skidding to a halt by them.
My queen!
She struggled to keep her voice. Gabriel let go of her staff and gently cradled the queen to her lap.
Queen Melosa!
She choked out as the tears began to fall. Eponin pulled out the sword from her queen's body and tossed it to the ground in disgust, immediately placing a pressure compress to the wound.
Gabriel!
The queen's strangled voice came in short breaths.
You tried to save me. But I failed. I'm so sorry, Queen Melosa.
Gabriel cried while brushing the hair away from the queen's eyes with a gentle hand.
It's okay, Gabriel. I knew this could happen.
She took a deep breath. Pony.
Yes, my queen.
You are to bear witness. Gabriel has the mark on her hip. It is the mark of Artemis.
Eponin's face changed from sadness to shock as her head snapped up to Gabriel's face. Eponin knew of the mark the queen spoke of, as all Amazons were told the story by their elders.
Gabriel, I know I will not see another day.
A tinge of pain struck the queen, causing her to grasp both Gabriel and Eponin's hands in reflex. She cried silently where her breaths came shallower.
Gabriel, I give my right of cast to you.
She took another breath.
Please accept,
she said with pleading eyes.
Oh, Queen Melosa, I can't.
Gabriel sobbed.
Please, Gabriel, so that...
A shallower breath.
I may rest easy, knowing they are safe.
The queen was struggling with her breath now.
Yes, Queen Melosa, I accept.
Gabriel replied solemnly.
Pony.
The queen struggled.
Yes, my queen. I bear witness.
Eponin looked into the eyes of her beloved queen with tears streaming down the normally stoic warrior's face, reaching up with a weakened, trembling hand. The queen caressed Gabriel's face.
She loves you. Take care of her.
A very weak breath.
Thank you.
In a whisper, and then her hand fell. She closed her eyes and was gone. Chapter 44. It took a moment before what had just occurred registered in Gabriel's mind.
No!
Gabriel cried, pulling the queen's body to her chest and sobbing openly for the queen she knew had so much more to give. Eponin closed her eyes and prayed to Artemis that her queen be given safe and easy passage to the Amazon land of the dead. The battle still raged on around them, and finally Eponin broke the silence of mourning.
We must go.
Gabriel looked at her and nodded.
Let's move her away from this.
Quietly, they gathered the queen's body and laid her out in the battlefield into a copse of trees. They crossed her arms and her chest and tucked her sword under them, in acknowledgement of a warrior who died in battle. They both looked down at her body in silence for another moment before Gabriel spoke.
I need to get to the conqueror. She is in danger. They know of her plans.
Yes.
Eponin hesitated a moment. She looked down to Gabriel's exposed hip and saw the mark for her own eyes.
My queen.
She formally acknowledged Gabriel as Artemis's chosen and the receiver of Queen Melosa's rite of cast with a bow of her head. Gabriel closed her eyes,
sadly lowered her head and took a deep breath. They made their way through the battlefield, heading towards the front line as they knew the Conqueror would be leading the charge. It was nearing dusk, and the battle had gone for a full day by the time Eponin and Gabriel heard of where the Conqueror was located. Eponin had remained by Gabriel's side the entire battle through their search. Gabriel knew that it was her duty now to try and protect her, as she had tried with the Queen. The Conqueror had just finished fighting two men, dispatching him to Hades. Taking a deep breath, she tried to will the beast back into her dark soul as they had defeated this encampment and were pushing the enemy in the direction they wanted. The small break in the battle engagement did not require the services of the beast, and would give the troops time to regroup, take a much-needed break for food, water, and able to sort out the wounded. The Conqueror's body still thrummed with the energy of battle, and the beast, but she did not let it control her completely, finally willing it to its recesses just under the surface to recall for the upcoming battle.
Night Conqueror!
A voice called out. She raised her head from the moment's breath to see Eponin making her way towards her. Gabriel was behind her, so she could not see her as yet. Saluting, Eponin began.
Lord Conqueror, we must speak with you.
We?
The Conqueror queried with a raised eyebrow. Just then Gabriel walked around and up from behind Eponin.
My lord.
Gabriel bowed her head.
Gabriel, what are you doing here? I gave you direct orders to stay with Titimus.
The Conqueror pointed the direction of the medical tent as she approached her.
Yes, my lord. Please forgive me your anger, but I had to warn you.
Gabriel sighed and leaned on her staff.
Gabriel, you're hurt! Sit down!
The Conqueror immediately was at her side, helping her to sit at the base of a tree. She ripped off a piece of cloth from under her own leathers and began to tend to her wound.
What happened to you?
She asked with concern.
I had a man lunge at me while fighting off another to get to you,
Gabriel said tiredly.
But, my lord, I need to tell you. They know.
Gabriel placed a hand on top of the Conqueror's, looking into her darkened blue eyes.
They? Who? Knows what?
She looked up to Gabriel, then Eponin in confusion, and no patience. Eponin looked to Gabriel, but did not speak as this was not her place now. Gabriel was now her queen, and she was now talking with the Lord Conqueror of the Greek Empire.
These men, they know of your plans. Somehow they know of your plans to pin them in.
Impossible. Only Abraxas, Queen Melos, and I were aware of these plans.
She shook her head.
My lord, one of your soldiers was at the medical tent. He'd been speared through the thigh. He heard from their leaders as they fought. He passed out from blood loss trying to get back to inform you.
But how could they know? Queen Melos is amongst us here, and Abraxas is to the north in battle.
Eponin sadly lowered her head when the Conqueror spoke.
What? What is it, Eponin?
The Conqueror asked when she saw her movements. Eponin looked to Gabriel, who nodded imperceptibly.
Queen Melos has fallen in battle, Lord Conqueror.
She said with a heavy heart. The Conqueror blinked. Then her shoulders sagged with the burden of having not only the Amazon's queen die in a battle, but her friend as well.
No.
She whispered and turned her head away, so neither of them could see her sadness.
I'm sorry.
She said to no one in particular.
You being here tells me the ones responsible have been brought to justice.
She said angrily. Eponin and Gabriel said nothing but nodded.
Have you sent word to your regent?
No, Lord Conqueror. Our first concern was to get to you.
Eponin replied. The Conqueror acknowledged this with a nod of her head.
Very well. I guess I have to put my other plan into motion.
My lord?
Gabriel asked.
Yes. I have two backups that I have kept hidden from everyone. No one knows of them except me. And now you two.
What is it?
I have two legions at my disposal by sea, and I have the centaurs at my call.
She paused and took a deep breath, willing the beast to stay at bay. Gabriel watched as her love's face darkened and her eyes turned steely. The hand she still had on the Conqueror's began to heat up as the Conqueror's temperature rose in anger. Gabriel withdrew it quickly and shuddered at the transformation occurring before her eyes.
Now that I've had enough of being the diplomatic defender of the realm, they've done enough damage in my lands, and this ends now.
She growled. Eponin, you had to go to Abraxas with this.
She handed Eponin a message scroll.
He'll know how to contact my troops and what I need done. You, Gabrielle,
she turned to her,
are to head back to the medical tent until this is over.
Eponin stood and looked at Gabrielle, waiting for a queen's decision. The Conqueror turned to see where Eponin was still there. Gabrielle barely nodded her head while the Conqueror had her head turned. Eponin saluted with a slight bow, unbeknownst to the Lord Conqueror that it was to both of them, and took off at a run in the direction of the Abraxas' legion. When the Conqueror turned around, Gabrielle was standing up again.
Xena, I know you're only trying to protect me.
And obviously you seem determined to make that as difficult as possible for me.
The Conqueror cut in.
Please, Xena, be practical. I'm capable to fight in this and have for more than you know. You need all the swords you can have at your side.
You are injured because you cannot defend yourself, Gabrielle.
And you are not without injury either. I did defend myself, otherwise I wouldn't be here arguing with you.
Gabrielle replied tersely. The Conqueror was struck at the irony of the situation. Here she was in the middle of a battle, arguing. She'd never argued with anyone, anywhere. Her orders were followed implicitly to the letter, without question, and no one dared disagree or argue. Gabrielle truly must have felt well to survive the soldiers' attacks, which have befallen many men already, and she must truly have a hold on the Conqueror to be arguing with her.
Please, Xena, I'd have to fight to get back to the medical tent anyways. Let me fight by your side.
Gabrielle.
Xena, I can do this. Besides, you need to trust me to get your message relayed for the centaurs.
The beast growled from within her chest as it felt its master's frustration. Here was the Lord Conqueror, struck with the only option but to agree. She sighed and shook her head.
Here, take this.
She handed her a key.
Go back to Sirion. He has a saddlebag, and in it it's a locked box. Open it, and there's a flute horn. Though you will not hear sound come from it, blow hard. Only the centaurs will be able to hear it. They are awaiting the signal to reinforce my troops and come to my aid.
Gabrielle said nothing. She held the Conqueror's hands and squeezed it tightly as she looked up to her eyes. Before releasing her hand, she stood on her toes and whispered,
"Thank you for your trust and faith,"
kissing her lightly and turning away towards Sirion.
"Athena, please protect her,"
the Conqueror said before turning toward the battleground and back into the melee. Eponin took the road as if fleeing the wrath of Zeus himself. It took her over a candle mark, but she could see the battlefield as the fighting still raged heavily. Working through the enemy to reach the front line, she asked a few soldiers where Abraxas was. She found him and her regent leading the assault and leaving no prisoners.
"Abraxas!"
she called out to him. He glanced over and saw who it was. Knowing she had been with the Conqueror's group, he made his way over.
"Weapons, master. What news?"
he asked, gathering his breath.
"The Lord Conqueror sends this to you. Apparently her initial plan to pin them in has been found out by the enemy. They're forming now to do the same to us,"
she said in between, gasping for breath. Abraxas unfurled the message scroll, read it, and nodded to himself.
"Well done."
He admired his Conqueror's forethought. He reached into his pocket and withdrew a coin with a small leather strap attached to it. The coin had the Conqueror's image stamped on one side, and on the other was a lion's head. Reaching out to the nearest freestanding soldier, he pulled him towards him.
"Find me Orestes."
"I am Abraxas."
The man ran off and returned a few cantrips later with a small messenger in tow. Putting it around the messenger's head, he spoke.
"Being that you are a child yet, no one will try to harm you. That being so, you are thus protected, and by that end I know you will not fail the Conqueror."
Orestes stood a bit prouder. Though he was but only 10 summers old, he was the trusted messenger of the Conqueror on imperial matters.
"Take this and head back towards the palace. At the bay you'll find a ship with a lion's head mast. Go to the captain and hand him this, with the message, 'The lion calls.' Do you understand?"
Orestes nodded, and with a small tap on his shoulder by Abraxas's hand, he took off. In the meanwhile, Eponin called to her regent Ephany to speak with her.
"F, we need to talk. Now."
Chapter 45.
"Okay, go over there."
Ephany pointed to a copse of trees that was behind the fighting line,
and a bit dense so they could talk privately. Once they were there...
Okay, Pony, what's up? I failed.
She hung her head in shame and defeat as the tears sprang forth.
What are you talking about, Pony? I couldn't save her. I didn't protect her.
She wailed out in anger.
She's dead 'cause of me.
Ebony grew scared at the statement and the fact she didn't know who Ebony spoke about.
Who? Our queen.
Ebony stared at Ebony with a blank look, the shock of what she just said robbing her of her ability to react.
She's dead 'cause I couldn't get to her in time.
Shaking herself from a stupor, Ebony asked,
What happened? She was fighting three of the enemy when another shot a crossbow. She ducked and it hit one of their own, but one of the others caught her across the back. Gabrielle did one of those three in as the queen tried to defend herself. I was fighting to get to her, but couldn't get to her side in time. The three of them went down in a heap as Gabrielle tried to block her from his next blow. But it was too late.
She sobbed.
She'd been stabbed.
Ebony just listened in shock. Her queen was dead. Gabrielle had tried to save her. Her weapons master was a wreck, and for all intents and purposes, she was now queen.
Pull yourself together, Pony. I know you never feel like queen. This is a battle, and she died a warrior's death. You did not fail her.
Ebony took in several deep breaths, trying to calm herself.
Where is she? We moved her from the battlefield and laid her in tradition.
Ebony nodded.
There's more, Eph.
Ebony looked at Ebony with a look that said, What more can there be?
Queen Melissa bid me to bear witness.
Ebony's eyebrows furrowed at the words. She knows that those words were only used for official declarations.
She gave Gabrielle her right of caste after telling me she had Artemis's mark.
Ebony's eyes snapped wide at this.
What?
Ebony nodded as she spoke.
Gabrielle accepted after the queen pleaded with her dying breath.
She paused.
I've seen it, Ev. She's Artemis's chosen queen, and now ours.
Ebony froze. Her world was turning upside down before her eyes.
Ev.
Ebony called her.
Huh? Yeah.
Ebony was struggling with all of this information.
Ev, I've got to get back to our queen. I can't leave her.
No, yeah.
Pony, let me get that leg rewrapped and then get you out of here.
Ebony replied. Ebony nodded and they walked quietly out into the battlefield. After attending to her leg, Ebony went back to the Conqueror's group with instructions from Ebony on not disclosing this information to anyone until they could secure the queen's safety. Gabrielle had managed to find the box the Conqueror had described, and true to a word, when Gabrielle blew into the flute horn, no sound was heard. Not willing to tempt fate, Gabrielle blew it again with all her might, getting a bit dizzy in the process. She returned the flute horn to its container and proceeded to make her way back to the Conqueror. Midway through the battlefield, a small rumbling began. Dismissing the noise at first, its intensity increased until Gabrielle finally turned to see what was causing it. When she did, she saw men approaching on horseback. But then, blinking and refocusing, she noticed that they were not on horseback, but were part of the horse. They were centaurs. Lots of them. Gabrielle had only just reached where the Conqueror was doing battle when they came upon the scene. They rode right by Gabrielle and up to the Conqueror. She heard them coming at first rumbling and knew her Gabrielle had completed her task. Turning from the battle, she walked towards their leader.
Lord Conqueror.
Their leader, Calliopus, saluted with a bow of his head.
Calliopus, you are a sight.
The Conqueror smiled while reaching up to extend her arm in a warrior's handshake. Gabrielle walked up and stood behind the Conqueror, not interrupting the discussion.
We heard your call, Lord Conqueror, and as sworn, we are here.
He shook her arm.
Yes, thank you for this.
Motioning to Gabrielle to come forward as she had sensed her presence.
This is Gabrielle.
I asked her to summon you. Turning to look at Gabrielle, she said the next words. I trust her with my life. Gabrielle lowered her head demurely as a blush rose to her cheeks. Turning back to Calliope,
my plans were discovered. I shall not have that happen again,
she said, letting a bit of her anger rise forth.
Calliope, I want you and your troops to circle run in a northeastern direction, coming up behind and around the back of them.
Aye, Lord Conqueror.
Calliope saluted and made his way back to his troops. After a few words with them, they turned in the direction instructed. And thundered off.
Wow,
Gabrielle said. The Conqueror turned to her, surmising by her reaction, guessed that it was the first time she'd seen a centaur.
So, first time seeing a centaur, huh?
Gabrielle nodded.
Yes, and they work for you?
Well, kind of. They have a sworn an oath to come to my aid if ever the need arises.
Why?
Because I saved their children from a group of warlords back when I first started out. Amongst them was Calliope's son. I took an arrow in my leg and chest defending them. So they swore should I ever need their help, no matter how many times or where, to be there as I was for them.
Xena, you are truly a changed Conqueror.
This comment struck the Conqueror deep in her soul, and caused her confusion on how to react to her emotions on it. Trying to cover up her distress,
let's get a bit of rest as there is a lull in the fighting. We'll start up again soon.
Gabrielle could see something bother her, but did not wish to push the issue. Just now.
Okay.
Early morning before Apollo's chariot crossed the sky, the Conqueror was up and surveying the casualties of the battle. Eponin had arrived in the night and let the Conqueror know she was back and would be by Gabrielle's side today. The Conqueror thought it to be that they had shared something in the death of the Queen, and felt comfortable in each other's sorrow. The knowledge someone was looking out for her, Gabrielle, comforted her. The reports confirmed that Gabrielle had said of the enemy's troops trying to pin them in against their own, and the Conqueror felt confident that she could trust in those plans she set into action. By the time the sun was up, the battle had been going for a candle mark at the front lines. The Conqueror felt that the enemy had not yet realized what was going to happen as they continued to vigorously push her troops further in and around. Meeting a sword clash head-on, the Conqueror found herself surrounded by half a dozen enemy soldiers.
Ah, time for a little one-to-one, I see,
she taunted them. They rushed at her all at once, causing her to buckle under the combined assault and weight. The beast felt caged and enraged at the sudden turn, and she let it loose to do her bidding. Bodies went flying off in opposite directions as she emerged from under their attack.
Come on, you pathetic boys. Can't even fight fair, lest alone.
She bellowed and motioned them to come at her again. This time two drew their swords and lunged as the other circled looking for an opportunity to strike. This exchange lasted only a few candle drops as another two would switch places and begin again.
Ah, trying to wear me down. Bring it on!
She was aware of their tactics and used to fighting in all sorts of situations. But she didn't see the fact that she'd been steered into a trap. Only when the floor gave out from under her feet and all went dark.
Come now, Xena. Time to wake up.
A voice in the distance called out to her.
That's it. Wakey, wakey.
Struggling to open her eyes, everything was shadowed and blurred. Blinking slowly and trying to shake her head, she realized it caused a great deal of pain.
Ugh.
She moaned.
Well, well. It took you long enough.
The male voice began again. Drearily, she looked up and saw a man turn and walk away. She then began looking around the surroundings, feeling a sense of deja vu. Two men were supporting her up by her arms, but she was on her knees on the ground. She could feel that she was restrained, but tried not to move just yet as she regained her senses.
It is nice of you to join us on this momentous occasion, Lord Conqueror. Or shall I call you Xena?
He spoke again with his back still towards her. Trying to clear her throat, she grunted and swallowed.
Who are you?
She finally croaked out.
Oh, come now, Xena. Surely you must remember me, the man whose life you tore apart and left in misery.
Her eyebrows furrowed in confusion No, I don't.
She answered honestly, but with no remorse. At this he turned and stalked up to her. Without preamble, he reared back with his arm and backhanded her across the face.
You should, you unscrupulous bitch!
His anger evident for the first time. The impact snapped her head back and to the side, finally falling forward as she lost the tenuous grasp at consciousness for a few moments.
Come on now. You expect me to believe they've been passed on to Hades realm? No, no, no.
He grabbed the bucket of water and doused her in it, bringing her to consciousness.
You destroyed my life.
He strode around the tent, regaining his composure with every step. You're Wotan, she finally said in more of a statement than question.
Yes, amongst many other names,
he said with no emotion.
So you claim not to remember?
Yes, I don't.
You don't remember storming my castle, disabling my guards?
He waited for a response, but none came forth, so he continued.
You don't remember destroying my one precious possession, and then ransacking the castle before you left in your quest for power?
Again no response, as the conqueror began to piece together what he was saying. There were many lands, many places. She paused. I tried to stop all of that, she said now with a tinge of sorrow in her voice.
That doesn't change what was done to me,
he snapped.
No, it doesn't. But why the innocent villagers who have nothing to do with this?
She asked, trying to make sense of the carnage he had done.
Funny. Don't you think you should answer that yourself?
He asked back. She could not answer. She was caught off guard at having to answer for her own actions.
But being that you could have cared less, I felt the only way to hurt you was to destroy what you had built. Little by little, even getting you to come down from amongst so high to fight. You see yourself as the kind and benevolent ruler, but you can never erase what you have done. Those lives you have destroyed to get to where you were. So we planned. We set it about in motion what would be your final undoing.
He was walking around the tent they were in as he spoke, circling around her and the men holding her.
I've planned this for so long. My revenge. It has been very long, mind you, not only in time, but anguish over what has brought me here to this.
Xena struggled to keep herself still and focus, the beast wanting out, wanting freedom to wreak havoc. He began walking again, and she tested the restraints subtly that kept her captive, realizing they were indeed good, almost as good as what she had used, as sense of foreboding started in the bottom of her soul.
It has come now to this, Lord Conqueror, to your finish. I have exacted my vengeance, with only two things left to do.
He paused to give his words time to sink in.
To cause you the same anguish you did to me, and then rid of us, up your presence.
Xena tried to understand what he was saying, as she knew he would kill her. But what anguish? How did you find out about my plans? She asked, not giving him the pleasure of a response regarding his statement. His only reply was a deep, dark laugh. Once he recuperated.
That was truly humorous for someone so close to dying. You don't know, do you?
Seeing that she indeed did not know, and she was now a condemned woman, he relented.
You remember me now?
Yes.
You're the one all the barbarians are killing and raising villages to the ground for. Yes, as well as the man whose castle and life you violated.
No response back.
But I am known to others by another name, in the names of my lands where I am no mere mortal. My name is Odin.
Her eyes widened, giving physical evidence to the shock that came upon her. The Norse god, she stated to herself.
Yes.
He replied, letting that bit of information sink in and lead to the answers she sought.
Though I am bound by the powers that rule our powers as god, I am not without certain privileges of which one is being known as a god in other lands, in that I've always had comrades at arms amongst the other gods of your lands. Though I am bound to not have my powers here in their lands, I'd have to maintain this facade come aura of a mere mortal, I'm afforded certain liberties. Being that I have a friend who was once someone who cherished you
I now have my vengeance at hand.
Xena's feeling of foreboding began to surface more, causing some anxiety to settle in.
This is a battle, Xena. Who do you think would grant this to happen?
There was a moment of searching in her mind of all the discussions with Aphrodite over the past few moons when it dawned on her.
Ares!
She hissed through gritted teeth.
You should know better than to dismiss the affections of a potential mate. Especially a god.
He was never a potential mate, and they were never affections. Merely lustful wants.
Nevertheless, you did the wrong thing. Any woman would have given herself willingly to him for his attention.
I am not any woman. She sneered back.
No, you never were.
Odin responded. Just then a soldier came in and whispered to Odin before he replied angrily.
Bring her here!
The soldier left immediately as he turned back to her.
Well, I might not have my revenge the way I wanted, but I will have it nonetheless. Just to witness your anguish will be pleasure enough, even though I would have wanted to do it myself.
What are you talking about? She said with a bit of exasperation now.
You took from me my most valuable and precious possession. The only thing I valued in this world. The only thing I ever loved. You killed my wife!
All of a sudden, the images of what Ophelia described flooded her mind. The castle, the warriors expecting someone, the men battling an unexpected intruder in the private chambers. Oh no. She hung her head.
I have had someone watch you from afar, to see who your bedwarmer was.
Suddenly that panicking feeling surfaced, and Xena could feel the stirring deep in her dark soul.
You've certainly been scarce in your entertaining lately, though there have been quite a few women coming and going from the palace.
The stirring became more evident and pronounced to Xena. She knew it had truly been awoken.
Though I cannot take from you personally what you took from me, I will at least enjoy seeing the look on your face.
Commotion outside the tent alerted him to the soldier's return.
You see, Xena, your bedwarmer has already done to her what you did to mine.
A cold sweat was profusely seeping down Xena's wet skin at these words, as he continued to look up to see two soldiers drag in a woman's body.
My men have killed your bedmate.
No!
She howled as the men threw the bloodied body to the ground. To be continued.
Well, that concludes the 113th episode of XNU, and that is When Do You Know? By me, your host, Cass. I hope everybody's enjoying the show. I know that is a cruel place to leave the show, but then again, you know that's what I always do. I leave you hanging. So I hope everybody's enjoying themselves. I have just one request. Please, for those of you who have not been able to donate yet, check out the Blogspot and donate, please. Once again, it's not for me, it's for cancer research. If you have any announcements whatsoever for the show, weddings, birthdays, marriages, anything, you know, childbirth, whatever, go ahead and send me an email at xena.uber@gmail.com. Recipes, book recommendations, movie recommendations, song snippets that you would like to hear, anything and everything, send me an email at xena.uber@gmail.com. So until next episode, everyone, please take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.
Wherever you go. Smile even just for a while.